And it's ministering before the Lord. And it's not the worship team only, the praise team or the music team that ministers before the Lord. We join in the ministry before the Lord. We minister to the Lord. We all gather together to minister to the Lord. That is what it's about. It's not about what we get out of it. It's about what we give and what we bring to the Lord. He says we bring our offering of praise. And that is what we do here this morning. We brought an offering of praise. Okay, this morning I want to speak about Jesus is life. It's not a question. It's not a. It's not my idea. It's not a suggestion. It is a fact. Jesus is life, and there's no other life but Jesus. And you will see we have an idea of what life means, but we'll see through the scripture and through the word that our idea is not always what it really is. And our idea is very limited. We think that if something breathes, that is life. Who of you think that life means you're breathing? If you're breathing, you are alive, but there's not necessarily life. And we're going to talk about that because only Jesus is life. Except for Jesus, there is not life. John 10 verse 10, it's very easy to remember, John 10 verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. This is Jesus talking. So do you see there's a contrast, there are two opposing forces here. The thief does not come except to steal and kill and destroy. Just think about that. This thief walks around, all he thinks about is this kill, steal, and destroy. Destruction. I mean, imagine living that kind of life. Imagine being that. Good thing that there's only one who's that, and that's the devil. He's talking about the thief who's Satan, who's the devil. And he's very present in this world today because he was thrown out of heaven. And because Adam fell, he ate of the fruit of the tree that God told him not to eat from. And because of his obedience, he caused a sin. He committed a sin. And the sin caused him to fall out of grace. And through that, Satan had a legal impact on his life from that day on. And that is why we are still bearing the consequences of Adam. We are still also now, Satan has an impact on our lives. And what is he? He is the one who only comes to steal and kill and destroy. Now, it's always good to understand. It's good to know what the one side is, because then you understand the other side better. So if we know what the enemy, what it means to kill, steal, and destroy, we'll understand what life means, because that's the opposite. And Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So we're going to talk about Jesus. Jesus is life. There's another scripture I'm going to read. It's 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9 to 10, and that is, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, that sleeping means whether we die, whether we live now or we die, we should live together with him, life. Live together with him. Okay. Like I said, our understanding of life is very limited. We think that if we're breathing, there is life, okay? How many of you think if there's breathing, there's life? And that's sufficient. That's good enough. I'm breathing. I'm alive. Let's just carry on. Let's just move along. I'm still alive. The problem is, though, if we believe that life only means we're breathing, we are missing out. And you'll understand now what I mean, because we're going to talk about this life of abundance that God, Jesus has come to bring to us. Okay? All right. In order to understand life better, we have to look at death. Okay, we don't like looking at death. Death sounds, it's just that subject, that area that we don't want to go because it doesn't make you feel good. Because by definition, death is not a nice thing. It's a bad thing. It's a bad thing. Okay. So what is death? Again, our understanding of death is also limited. Who of you think that death is only there when something is dead? So if you're looking for death, you're looking for dead things. That is not necessarily true. Death is a process. When death is present, there is a process of dying that takes time. The death causes the process of dying. The end result is something is dead. But death is present, causing something to degrade and to die. Do you understand why something that is already dead doesn't mean that's the only thing that's got death in it? Something that might be living, and remember, there's a difference between living and life. Something that's living might have death present. And you'll see that in our lives, as whether you're Christian or not a Christian, there's a lot of death present that we don't know of. There's a lot of life present that we don't realize. But there's also a lot of life that Jesus has come to give that we have not taken hold of. How do you get rid of death? Life gets rid of death. Jesus conquered death. Only Jesus can conquer death. We all know the saying, one thing is certain, we're all going to die. So, do we have control over death? No. Who has control over death? The devil? No. Who has control over death? Jesus conquered death. He decides. We choose. We don't decide, but we choose. If someone is dying in a hospital, just to keep going, I'm going to have to explain death very well, so we need to understand death. If someone's lying in hospital dying, still breathing, but he's dying. Death is present. Call it cancer, call it disease. Death is present because the end result, the process of dying has started. Unless you stop the process, which Jesus can obviously do. He can heal for you from cancer. Unless you stop that process of death, the end result will be a dead person. That person is still alive, but death is present. Do you see what I mean? How does nature identify, or picture of, probably not nice, but it's a good picture of how nature identifies death. When vultures are circling and cruising around, death is present. Did you know that? When vultures cruising around, landing somewhere where there's something, death is present. Often, the thing is still alive. The animal hasn't yet died. The vulture smells death. So you think it's still breathing, there's life. There's not really life. It's alive, but death is present. Okay? The process of death is present. Don't worry, we're not going to talk about death all day. This is encouraging a good message because we're talking about life, okay? But we need to go down to go up. Yeah? I'm going to read a story. I didn't put the whole story on because it was very sad. In 1994, South African photojournalist Kevin Carter. Don't know if you've heard of Kevin Carter. If you've seen the movie The Bang Bang Club, you would know who Kevin Carter is. Kevin Carter won the Pulitzer Prize for photojournalism, Pulitzer Prize, the best photo journalism of the year. He won. It was a disturbing photograph of a Sudanese child being stalked by a vulture. That same year, Kevin Carter committed suicide. Very sad. That vulture, which is explained what it saw, that little child was still alive. While in Sudan, near the village of Ayot, Carter found a small, emaciated toddler struggling to make her way to the food station. When she stopped to rest, still alive, a vulture landed nearby with his eyes on the little girl. Carter took 20 minutes to take the photo, wanting the best shot possible before chasing the bird away. That's very sad. Anyway, so do we understand that death doesn't mean something is dead? Death can be present while you're breathing. Yeah? That is, and that death is what the thief comes to do. Steal, kill, destroy. And we'll see what areas of life. We're not just talking physical. Physical is the mildest kind of death because it's not in the mind. And we who are fortunate can take pills for pain. Okay, let's take it up a bit. Okay, how did death enter? There's this death here in the world, and this death has got an impact on us. How did it enter? Here's the answer. Romans 5, verse 12. We're going to read Romans 5, verse 12, then we're going to read Romans 6, verse 22, 23. Just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin. And thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. Where does death come from? Sin. Let's rather say, how did death get an entry to our lives? How does it get an entry to our lives? Through sin. Remember, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what his plan is. But it doesn't mean he gets it right. Hallelujah. There's light at the end of the tunnel. We need to know these things, okay? We need to know these things. Otherwise, my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. That's what God said. We perish because of a lack of knowledge. Not because somebody hits us on the head, but because of the lack of our knowledge. That's why we need to know this. Romans 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you see that Jesus is life and only Jesus is life? Romans 8 verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Okay. Now, let's look at life. Okay, let's cheer us up because we're talking about life today. Jesus paid the price for death. He's already done it. We don't need to accept it, death, in our lives, if we take hold of what Jesus has come to bring us. And this whole message is about us taking hold, receiving, accepting the life that Jesus has brought us, the life of abundance. Okay, a very nice analogy for me, a very nice picture of life. There are so many. The Bible is just full of life. Just read the Bible. If you feel down after this sermon, good. Read the Bible and cheer yourself up. Because the Bible is life. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. Jesus, and dwelt among us. Jesus is life. If you want life, read the word. Okay, Psalm 92, verse 12 to 14. And actually, I have it up there. There. This is just one excerpt, just one little piece of the Bible that talks about life. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still be fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. I want to focus on that word flourishing. What does flourishing mean? And here's the Hebrew definition of flourishing. End of the day, it was written in Hebrew, so we need to look at the Hebrew to find out what is the true meaning. It talks about to break forth as a bud. Have you ever seen those documentaries of them when they speed up the growth process of flowers and the bud breaks forth? That is bloom, and I think of flowers blooming, generally to spread, something that spreads, flowers. Everything spreads, generally, specifically to fly, as extending the wings, flying, soaring like an eagle, abundantly blossom, break forth, bud, flourish, grow, spread, spring up. Now this flourishing is talking about that process, that budding, that and it talks about a never-ending process. Can you imagine just a never-ending process of budding, of flourishing, of life creating, flowers blooming, coming out just constantly, like this, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Can you imagine that? We don't have enough space for all of it. But that is what God's plan is. That is what life means. If you look at death, death is something that degrades, goes down, and just at the end crumbles. Life is the opposite. Life flowers, flourishing, blooming, constantly blooming, more blooming, just flowers and colors and overload. Whoa, whoosh, amazing, wow. Why do ladies love flowers? Why? Because first of all, they're beautiful. Second of all, they are life. They are the result and the proof of life. And who makes the flowers bloom? Not the gardener, not the water. God makes it bloom. Why? Because there is life. So this is for me a nice picture of life. Now, we're going to talk about the different areas of life. Just a few scriptures I want to read, because remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, and you know the truth will set the captives free. We can only be set free, we can only see the truth if we read it. Okay? And the only way to read the truth is in the Bible. That's why we have a lot of scriptures. John 6:35, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Who's the bread of life? Jesus. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Life. Take away the food, take away the drink, you die. Jesus does the opposite. He gives us food, he gives us drink, we live. Jesus, okay, John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Who is the life? Jesus is the life. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. What shall we have? The light of life. John 11:25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Resurrection. Something dies, Jesus resurrects. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Something has died, Jesus resurrects. It might be dead, but life is there. Jesus brings life, resurrects. I've heard of stories of trees and things dying, and then they're amazed. People are amazed, like years later, this thing starts leaves, pushing out leaves again. You know, like this dead tree, and then they see, hey, something is growing. Yeah, who does that? Jesus does it. God does it. Whoop, causes it to grow even though it's died. Okay, now we're going to talk about the thief, John 10:10 again. Let's just go back to John 10:10, right at the beginning. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. We've covered the death part. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Okay, we're going to talk about that abundant life. Because again, we think, God's given me life. I'm living. I'm alive. Whew, praise the Lord. I'm alive. That's not the end. God has not called us just to live. He hasn't called us just to be alive. He's come to give us life. And we will talk about the different areas of life. Now, he's come to give it to us abundantly. Abundant life. Now, again, let me just start off and put that aside. Abundant life doesn't mean you have a lot of money. Money causes more sorrow and destruction than anything else. Why? Because the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Forget about the money. God will give you the money if he can trust you with the money. If you are not trustworthy with money, say to God, please don't give it to me. Because I'm going to cause destruction. Abundant life does not mean you have a lot of money. But if we live a life of sin, if we live dishonestly, we will lose the money that God's given us. If we cut corners with a tax man, if we sell something for more than it's worth, we're going to lose that money. So let's put the money thing aside. God blesses you also with money. He's the provider. He's our provider. He supplies all our need according to his riches in glory. All our need according to his riches in glory. He gives us more abundantly, more than we can ever even ask or think. Okay? He will look after you. He will look after your children. He will look after everything, and he will give you abundance if we stick to him and his will and his ways. Okay? So money aside. Abundance. The Greek abundance. I think I have the next slide. Have I got the abundance up there? No, I probably didn't. Okay. Abundance, the Greek. Now, it's a New Testament, so we're talking Greek. It means perissos. Where's Anthony? Anthony? Okay, in the sense of beyond, further, abundance, superabundant in quantity or superior in quality, by implication, excessive, exceeding abundantly above, more abundantly, exceedingly, very highly, beyond measure, more. Do you see what kind of life Jesus has come to give us? Beyond measure, more, high, good. This is what the life Jesus has come to give us. You know, we don't accept that. We don't take it. We're just sort of happy if we cruise along. It's our responsibility. We must take hold of the life. We must trust God for it. We must search the Word. We must search the Word, the Scriptures, and seek God. How can we? What do you mean by this life of abundance? What do you mean? And if it's not in my life, if you show me it means this and this and this is not my life, then Lord, please give it to me. Take hold of it. You know? But we are just too often too slack. We're just sort of happy with cruising along. And it's our fault. Okay. Another more abundance is derived from the Greek perisio, to superabound, be in excess, be super. You get the message, okay? Okay, now that we've seen that death doesn't mean necessarily that something is already dead. Death can be present even though something is alive. And the enemy causes that. He causes death in certain areas of our lives. Death in areas of our lives. Even though we are living, he causes death in areas of our lives and usually comes in through sin. But We're not going to go into that, but it can be because of the sin of your forefathers. Because God said he will put the iniquity on first, second, third, and fourth generation. If your fathers have sinned, you often bear the consequences of sin. But Jesus is there to redeem you. Doesn't matter what your forefathers did. He's there to save you from that. Okay. We also see that being alive doesn't necessarily mean there is life. But we also see that there's a lot more life than just being alive. Okay. Now, here are the different areas of our lives: mental, emotional, physical, relational, spiritual. There are probably more areas, but these are the main areas of our lives that there can be either death or life in. Jesus has come to give us abundant life. Abundant, remember, the superfluous, the more than enough, the you can't take it all in. Life in every area of our lives. In mental area, emotional, in physical, in relational, that's the you and me and us and so, spiritual. Now you will see that Jesus said that it's more difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than for a camel to pass through the eye of the needle. Meaning it's very difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Meaning it's very difficult for a rich man to accept Jesus. Why? Because he's got a lot of money. Mentally, he's happy. Emotionally, I've got a lot of stuff. Physically, I'm strong. I went to the plastic surgeon, fixed my nose, and I even look good. Relationally, I've got a lot of friends because I've got a lot of money. I pay them to be my friends. So why do I need God? Look at me. It's a rich person. Do you see why it's difficult for that rich person to choose Jesus? Jesus is spreading in the poor areas, in the persecuted areas. China, per capita, has probably got the most Christians out of every nation. And it's underground. They're not allowed to do it. It's illegal. Because they are desperate. But they also see riches. They don't have riches in their way. They trust in God for life in all of those areas. Okay? Just aside. Do you rather want to die rich and not be with the Lord? Or do you want to die having almost nothing, no possessions, and be with the Lord? And not only be with the Lord, but the Lord saying to you when you come to the gate of heaven, he says, good and pleasing servant, faithful servant, good and faithful servant. He's not going to say, you made a lot of money, good on you, very successful, cheer you up. He says, good and faithful servant. Okay, let's talk about these areas. Mental. It's the thought life, eh? Your mental, your thoughts, your mind. You know, sometimes you struggle with evil thoughts and the stuff doesn't want to come out. You know, we can go, there are different levels of it, right? Some people struggle with thoughts of hate. Oh, I hate this person. No. You know, some people struggle with insecurity. Oh, no one likes me. Oh, I'm a worm. It's all in the mind, you know, thought life, and a voice telling you, you know, you suck, or you never amount to anything. You're actually gonna die of hunger. Thought life. Mind. Who struggles with their mind sometimes? I'm going to fail this exam, and ugh, you know, I'm going to be poor all the rest of my life, and maybe I will even die. You know, somebody will ride over me or something like that. That's thought life. That is the enemy speaking to your mind. Why is he speaking to your mind? Because he wants to push you down. Because the mind will flow over to the emotional. What is the result of bad thoughts? emotional. You will become emotionally, you'll start dying emotionally. You'll start hating, you'll start becoming depressed, you'll start not be able to control your emotions. That is death. But let's talk life, okay? Mind. Timothy 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." You see, sound mind. When those thoughts come, you say, "God did not give me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I will not be confused because God has given me a sound mind." The more you speak it, the more you take hold of it. Remember, we need to take hold of it, and it's a process. It takes effort. It takes work. But when you have it, it's there. And you say, "Thief, goodbye, because Jesus is in my life." 2 Corinthians 10:4.